الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة خلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، so this is the continuation of last week's lesson as relates to Sharh Umdat al-Ahkam, an explanation of Umdat al-Ahkam from the kalam of Al-Alama Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, and likewise Bassam and Ibn Mulaqin rahimahullah jami'an. Seen as this today's hadith, which is the eighth hadith in the series of hadith in Umdat al-Ahkam relating to fiqh, Mu'amalat wa ibadat, things dealing with worship and transaction or interaction between individuals. This next hadith is going to be connected, and I'm going to refer to the previous hadith of Uthman ibn Affan wa ta'anu as we deal with this new hadith. This is the hadith an Amr ibn Yahya al-Mazni an abihi qala shahidtu Amr ibn Abil Hasan sa'ala Abdullah ابن زيد عن وضوء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فدعا بطور من ماء فتوضأ لهم وضوء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأكفأ على يديه من طور فغسل يديه ثلاثة ثم أدخل يده في الطور فمضمض واستنشق واستنثق ثلاثا بثلاث غرفات ثم أدخل يده في الطور فغسل وجهه ثلاثا ثم أدخل يدي فغسلهما مرتين إلى المرفقين ثم أدخل يدي فمسح بهما رأسه فأقبل بهما وأدبر مرة واحدة ثم غسل رجلي رواه البخاري ومسلم. نعم. وفي الرواية بدأ بمقدم رأسه حتى ذهب بهما إلى قفاه ثم ردهما حتى رجع إلى المكان الذي بدأ منه رواه البخاري ومسلم. وفي الرواية أتانا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فأخرجنا له ماء من طور من صفر. نعم، متفق عليه. This is the hadith of a chain, one of the few hadith that is mentioned in Umm al-Tahkam where the chain of the narrators are mentioned in it. And this hadith, حفظكم الله تعالى, is an Amr who said that he saw his father Amr ibn Abul Hasan asking Abdullah ibn Zayd about the wudu of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asking about the wudu of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he Abdullah ibn Zayd asked for a container of water and performed wudu like that of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in front of them. He poured water from the pot over his hand and washed his hands three times. He washed his hands three times. and he washed his hands 3 times, and then he put his hands into the pot and rinsed his mouth and washed his nose by putting water in it and then blowing, it with 3 handfuls of water. And then he put his hands in water and washed his face 3 times. And he washed his forehands up to the elbows 2x. Then he put his hands in the water and then passed them over his head by bringing them to the front and to the rear of the head 1x. And then he washed his feet up to his ankles. He washed his feet up to his ankles. This is the general text of the hadith here, which is mentioned in this amazing compilation of hadith of Al-Muzahkam. What we're going to deal with as relates to this hadith are the narrators in this hadith. The first, or the isnad, I should say, of this hadith. The first part of the isnad of this hadith is the Tabi, which is Amr ibn Yahya ibn Amara ibn Abi Hassan al-Mazani. Now he's a thiqah. Amr ibn Yahya is a thiqah, and he lived in the time of the Tabi'een. He's a thiqah, trustworthy narrator, attested by the ulama of hadith for his dhabt, for his precision in hifth, his memorizing and preserving narrations. And he was from those who lived amongst the times of the Tabi'een, and from the ulama of tariqh, and the ulama of Rijal, they haven't stated that he met any of the companions. So he's one of those Tabi'eens, you would say one of the younger Tabi'een, because the Tabi'een are split into the elder Tabi'een, the Mutawasit Tabi'een, and the younger Tabi'een. He would be considered from amongst the younger Tabi'een, as he didn't, has not been established that he met any of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He didn't meet any of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is Amr ibn Yahya ibn Amara ibn Abi Hassan al-Mazani, rahimullahu ta'ala. And he said that Shahidtu Amr ibn Abi Hassan. Naam. So the next narrator in this isnad is Abu Amr ibn Yahya ibn Amara. Abu Amr Yahya ibn Imar ibn Abi Hassan al-Mazni. Next one is Amr ibn Abil Hassan al-Ansari. Amr ibn Abil Hassan al-Ansari al-Mazni. Wahuwa min al-Sahaba. وهو من الصحابة واسمه أبي حسن تميم ابن عبد ابن عبد عمر قاله حافظ ابن حجر في الفتح الباري. He Amr ibn Abi Hassan al-Ansari al-Mazni was from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the fourth narrator that is mentioned here is Abdullah ibn Zayd ibn Asim al-Ansari al-Mazni رضي الله عنه. And Abdullah ibn Zayd ibn Asim al-Ansari al-Mazni, he was from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who fought in the battle of Uhud, and after that he fought in the battle of Uhud, and after that, and some of the ulama have stated that he was from those who fought in Badr. Some of the ulama say that he was also fought in Badr, and others say that he didn't fight in Badr, but rather he fought in Uhud. One thing that the ulama have mentioned is that he was one of those that fought Musaylama al-Kadhab. Musaylama who claimed prophethood. Musaylama al-Kadhab, he was from those who fought Musaylama al-Kadhab, who was one of those individuals who claimed prophethood. He claimed prophethood, and thus he was the companions fought him regarding this, and he was one of those, and he was considered the one who actually killed him. Abdullah ibn Zayd was considered the one who killed Musaylama al-Kadhab. He was the one who killed Musaylama al-Kadhab, and it was said that Musaylama al-Kadhab killed his son. He killed his son. Some of the ulama have said that Musaylama killed his son, and it was from the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Abdullah ibn Zayd was the one who killed Musaylama. And he, rahimahullah ta'ala, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abdullah ibn Zayd, he died in the year 63. 63. He died in the year 63. And this is a brief tarjima of Abdullah ibn Zayd and also the narrators of this hadith. We could prolong it, but inshallah, in order to make it short, inshallah ta'ala, we'll leave it on that point there. Regarding the hadith, this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what we're going to do now, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to try and connect last week's lesson to this week's lesson. We're going to try and connect last week's lesson to this week's lesson. And we'll say that the mawdu' of the hadith, and the topic of the hadith is kayfiyat as-sifatin wudu'i an-nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The topic of this hadith, the heading of this hadith, is how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed wudu'. How the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed wudu'. And this is connected to the previous lesson. This is the topic of the hadith. As for the gharib al-hadith, as for the wordings and the that's mentioned in the hadith, he said that he called for or he asked for a tawr min ma. And the ulama of Logha said that this tawr is a small container. The tawr is a small container or a small pot. It's a small pot. And this is what is one of the mufradat and the vocabulary that's mentioned in this hadith that's not mentioned in the hadith of Uthman ibn Affan. As for the other aspects of al-mirfaqain and also istinshaq and tamadmud and so forth, we've mentioned that last week and we won't repeat. And this definition is mentioned last week. As for the mujmal ma'ani al-hadith, as for the general meaning of this hadith, Basam says, هذا الحديث يعرف معناه مما تقدم في شرح حديث عثمان رضي الله عنه. He said that the general meaning of this hadith is understood and known from that which is explained in the hadith of Uthman رضي الله عنه. لأن كلا الحديثين يصف الوضوء الكامل للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Because both of these hadith describe the complete wudu without any naqs, complete wudu of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. He said, إِلَّا أَنَّهُ يُوجِدْ فِي هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ زِيَادَةً فُوَائِدَ عَلَى الْحَدِيثِ السَّابِقِ. Except this hadith here of Abdullah radiallahu anhu, this hadith here has certain benefits that are not found in the hadith of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. And what we're going to do regarding this, ya Ahibba, we're going to go through these benefits. The first of the benefits that's mentioned in this hadith, which is not mentioned in the other hadith, as Abbasam, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned, is that it is clearly mentioned in this hadith, the hadith of Abdullah, that the rinsing of the mouth. The tamadmud and stinshaq and so forth is mentioned in this hadith, that it's done three times. Whereas in the hadith of Uthman ibn Affan, it was just mentioned. But here it's mentioned the amount of times that is done. He said that it's clearly mentioned in this hadith that the rinsing of the mouth as well as the rinsing of the nose is three times. The second benefit, or the difference in the two narrations, is that in the other hadith, the hadith of Uthman ibn Affan, it was mentioned that the washing of the hands was three times. And in this hadith, it mentions that the washing of the hands is only two times. So in this hadith, it mentions that the washing of the hands is only two times, whereas in the hadith of Uthman ibn Affan, it mentions that the washing of the hands three times. So this here shows, ikhwan, the permissibility of that the washing of the hands three times is a more complete wudu, more complete, but it doesn't mean it's the washing of two hands is incomplete. Or rather, you can do both. So this indicates that it's not a must, that, you know, it has to be three times, but rather two times it can be washed two times as well. And this is the second additional benefit that we can take from this new hadith here that we have on the hadith of Abdullah ibn Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. The third benefit is that in the statement of the Prophet again, in the statement he says again he puts his hand in the water and washed his face three times. He says again he put his hands in the water and washed his face three times. And this indicates the use of one hand for washing the face. He put his hand in the water. He put his hand in the water, and this indicates what? The washing of the face three times. It indicates the use of one hand. It indicates the use of one hand. And as for the fourth benefit we're going to take from the differences in this hadith is that في حديث السابق, in the previous hadith, قال ثم مسح برأسه. He mentioned in the previous hadith, ثم مسح برأسه وهذا تعبير يمكن تعويله ببعض الرأس كما أولت الآية وامسحوا برؤوسكم. And in the previous hadith, in the hadith of Uthman ibn Affan, it says, and then he wiped his head. And remember, we talked about the half ba' here, bi ra'sihi, and some of the people have stated that this ba' means tab'id, which means some of his head. He wiped some of his head. This is the hadith of Uthman ibn Affan. And they try and say, you know, that it's not obligatory to wipe over the whole of the head, but rather some of the head because of this, and because of the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, وَمْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ, and wipe part of your heads, as they claim it means. But as for this hadith, وَفِي هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ صَرَّحَ بِمَسْحِ كُلُّهُ, as for this hadith, which is an additional benefit in this hadith from the previous hadith, that it clearly states that all of the head needs to be washed, as you can easily see, back and forth. All of the head needs to be wiped. Sorry. Now this shows the importance of using other hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being explained by other narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this clarifies the correct opinion that you wash or you wipe all of the head as opposed to some of the head. وَفَصَّلَ كَيْفِيَةَ الْمَسْحِ, and in this hadith, it shows detailed explanation of how you wipe over the head, whereas in the first hadith it mentions it in general. وَشَرْعُ يُبَيِّنِ بَعْضُهُ بَعْضًا, because the legislation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this perfect deen of Islam, the legislation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran and the Sunnah, explain each other. A hadith of the Prophet ﷺ explaining each other, دَلَّ عَلَى وُجُوبِ مَسْحِ كُلُّهُ. So here it shows the obligation of wiping over the head. Now, وفي حديث number 5, وفي حديثين نعم وفي حديثين يذكر عند المضمضة واستنشاق أنه يدخل يدا واحدة. I said in both hadith, in the both narrations regarding washing of the mouth and the nose, in and out water, in and out and so forth, and that it was done by one entering the hand, that one hand, the hand into the water one time. It was done one time as opposed to twice. It was done one time for madmada was in shock. It was done once. وفي هذا الحديث ذكر عنه أدخل يديه عند غسلهما ومسح رأسه بيديه. نعم. And in this narration, it mentions أنه أدخل يديه عند غسلهما. And he mentions here that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered washing the nose and the mouth. And this is an extra benefit from this hadith. وَمَسَى رَأْسَهُ بِيَدَيْهِ, and he sallallahu alaihi wasallam wiped his head with both his hands. أَقْوَلَ بِهِمَ وَأَدْبَرَ مَرَةً وَاحِدَةً. So in this hadith, it shows that the Prophet ﷺ washed his head with both his hands, and he took it from the front to the back, wiped it from the front to the back, and from the back to the front at one time, one motion. It was all in one motion. And Abu Dawood, rahimahullah ta'ala, the point of benefit. He said that the authentic narrations, or the authentic narration, all of it proves that the mash of the ra's, that the wiping of the head is one time. That the wiping of the head is what? One time and not twice. And this is not done twice. And this hadith here of Abdullah ibn Zayd clarifies that further. This hadith of Abdullah ibn Zayd clarifies that further. The sixth benefit that's taken from this hadith, يا أحباء أنه يؤخذ من هذا جواز مخالفة أعضاء الوضوء بتفضيل بعضها على بعض وأن التثليث هو صفة الكاملة وما دونها يجزى كما صحت في ذلك الأحاديث. And as we mentioned briefly before, he says that in this that which is taken from this hadith is that some parts of the body could be singled out more so in wudu than other parts of the body, as in doing it three times and two times and once and so forth. But as for it being done three times, the motions in the different aspects of wudu, this is the most complete. This is the most complete wudu. This is the best. It's better to do this. It's mustahab, but it's not. Doesn't negate. Also, if an individual doesn't do it three times, his wudu is still valid. If an individual does it three times, his wudu is still valid. And then he mentions اختلف العلماء في بداية بالمحس فهي من المقدم إلى المؤخر عند ابن دقيق العيد. And some of the ulama, benefit number seven, some of the ulama have mentioned, have stated that you start when do you start wiping from the front to the back, or from the back to the front? The front to the back, front to the back. Some of the ulama say you start from the back to the front, then front to the back, and others have stated you start from the back to the front, front to the back, and the back to the front. I'll repeat it again. Some of the ulama have stated that you start from the back to the front, and then they'll go back again for wiping the head. And some of the other ulama have said that you start from the front to the back, and then back to the front again. And this is this issue is taken from this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, inshallah ta'ala, we'll go to some of fawaid that Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala has mentioned as it relates to this hadith, from general benefits that Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala has mentioned. The first of those is the hirs of the Salaf, as-salih ala ma'rifati sunnati Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is the first benefit you can take from the general text of this hadith, is the hirs and the enthusiasm of the tabi salaf salih in general. Obviously here the tabi is mentioned, the salaf salih, the enthusiasm in knowing the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the ta'assu bihi fiha, in order for them to comply and follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It shows the enthusiasm of the salaf in gaining knowledge of that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did from his sunnah and implementing it. ثانياً سلوك معلم أقرب الوسائل إلى الفهم ورسوخ العلم. And said that the سلوك and the way of the teacher, his method, the way of the teacher and the application of the teacher is one of the best ways in order to enable one that's been taught to understand, and also for the knowledge to be firmly established. And that's why, as we mentioned last week in the hadith of Uthman ibn Affan, in that showing examples and so forth. And and the third benefit that Ibn Uthaymi mentions, which is a repetition as we mentioned before, مشعيت الوضوء على هذه كيفية يغسل كفيه ثلاث مرات. And then he mentions the legislation of how to do wudu, which is mentioned in the hadith, washing his hands three times and so forth, washing ثم تمضمض ويستنشق ويستنثر ثلاثا, and mentioning the number of times in which washing of the nose and washing of the washing of the mouth and washing of the nose has occurred in this hadith, and it was done three times, and this is the benefit that's taken from this hadith. Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he says mura'atu tartib bayn al-a'dha al-wudu. And last week, as I asked in the beginning of the lesson, what were the fara'id of al-wudu, what were the obligatory things or actions about wudu, and from that Allah Shams Fidhullah Ta'ala mentioned that it's tartib and that it must be done in order. And in this hadith, there's a stronger evidence for that in the hadith it mentions thumma. It mentions thumma. In this hadith, it mentions thumma, which it didn't mention in the hadith of Uthman ibn Affan. Here it mentions thumma, and thumma is, the meaning of thumma is tartib, is in order. Thumma fa'ala kada, thumma fa'ala kada, thumma fa'ala kada. Then this was done, and then this was done, and then this was done. So thum indicates order. It indicates order, and it's a strict usage in order to indicate that things need to be done in order. So in this hadith of Abdullah ibn Zayd, which is a proof, further strengthening proof that the wudu, the different parts of the body being washed in wudu or wiped, that this order is obligatory. It has to be done in this order. And this is the benefit that Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions. This is the benefit that Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentioned. And this, inshallah ta'ala, is the end of the benefits we're going to take from this hadith. And my intention today was to make the lesson half an hour long. My intention was to make the lesson today half an hour long because of the connection of this hadith to the previous hadith last week. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tawfiq. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
There's a question here. Does that mean you enter water in a vessel with one hand, then wash a face with two hands? Or yes. Is it wash a face with one hand?
No, two hands.
So you enter the one hand into the vessel, and then you wash with two hands?
No.
All right. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakum Allahu khair.
Barakallahu feek, Yafi. Allah fadakum. Inshallah, we link next week, inshallah, bi idhnillah. Jazakum Allahu khair.
حياكم بارك الله فيكم حياكم الله جزاكم الله خير السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
وبركاته. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله.